Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special Warner Archive podcast. We are beyond fortunate to have the most wonderful man who basically invented the television Western, one of the most admired and beloved stars of television and motion pictures, the fantastic person who I'd like to consider a friend of us here at the Warner Archive Collection, the magnificent Mr. Clint Walker is here today to talk to us about Cheyenne and his wonderful films that we offer on the Warner Archive Collection. And I want to welcome you to this podcast and thank you so much for joining us today.
Wow, what a magnificent introduction there.
I feel I didn't do you justice, but I was trying because we're pretty partial to you here in this part of Burbank, you know.
Take care of my ego for the next week or two.
Well, I'm so thrilled to have the opportunity to share with you some of the questions that people have sent us, knowing that you would be maybe speaking with us here on the podcast today. And we want to talk to you about not only just Cheyenne and how that played a part in creating the huge fan base that you continue to have for decades now, but we also want to talk about the films that you made here at Warner Brothers. And basically, I would assume that really starting here at Warner Brothers was one of the key ingredients to beginning your career. Would that be accurate?
Oh, absolutely.
And how did it come about that you came to the house of Jack Warner?
Well, it's funny how things work out. I met an old-timer by the name of Cap Sumners when I came out of Universal Studios, where I wasn't under contract, but they had me taking a few acting lessons, I guess, to try to get an idea of whether I could act or not. And an old-timer by the name of Cap Sumners that I'd seen in many, many pictures with Errol Flynn and a lot of the greats stopped me and he said, pardon me, he said, you're not under contract at Universal, are you? And I said, no. And he said, well, he said, they've got a lot of big men there. And he said, you might not, your chances might not be too good there. But he said, you know, DeMille is making Ten Commandments, and he's looking for big guys like you. And if you would care to give me your phone number, I'll see if I can set up an appointment. Well, I gave him the phone number and promptly forgot about it. I didn't really expect anything to happen. And lo and behold, a couple of weeks later, I get a call from Henry Wilcoxon, who was DeMille's right-hand man in making Ten Commandments and had worked with him on a number of other projects as well. And, of course, Henry had been a very fine leading man in past years and had worked with DeMille.
Right. I know. I think he was in Cleopatra with Claudette Colbert and some of those.
Right.
Yeah.
And he interviewed me, and I think he's probably one of the nicest people I ever met in Hollywood. But he kind of took a liking to me, and he, through Henry, set up a meeting with DeMille and got me a screen test where it was a Western screen test. He said, I figured later on that would be your forte.
Oh, wow.
At any rate, I'm on my way down to meet with DeMille. I see an elderly lady trying to change a tire on the freeway, and I could see that she couldn't do it. So I stopped, and I changed it for her. And she said, when I finished, she said, well, I thank you so much. She said, what do I owe you? And I said, you don't owe me anything, ma'am. Glad to do it. And she said, well, I hope I haven't made you late for anything. And I said, well, I said, I've got a meeting with DeMille at Paramount, but I'm sure that I'll be okay. And we went our separate ways, and sure enough, I was late. And I sat and waited till DeMille called for me to come in. And when you're in DeMille's presence, he was a very commanding presence, and he looked me up and down, and he said, you're late, young man. And boy, I thought, wow, my career's over before it even begins. And I said, I'm sorry, sir, I stopped to help somebody on the freeway. He says, yes, I know all about that. It just so happens that was my secretary.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Anyway, to DeMille gave me the part of the Sardinian captain of the guard, and I got to stand up there by the throne with Sir Cedric Hardwick and Yul Brynner and Chuck Heston and Ann Baxter and Woody Strode, a lot of the bigs.
All right.
And, you know, that in itself was a treat.
Of course.
And then I saw him make a few mistakes here and there, and I thought, maybe there's hope for me. then Hal Wallace put me under contract for 6 months.
Oh.
Warner saw the screen test while I was still making Ten Commandments, and they bought my contract from Wallace.
Oh.
And then they brought me to Warner's and said, we're going to school you and groom you for feature pictures.
Hmm.
And about two weeks later, I guess, they started testing for Cheyenne. It tested for 2 days. I think they got every leading man that was available that would fit for Cheyenne. And I thought, you know, I'm looking at Chuck Connors and Don McGowan and a lot of these guys, and I think, boy, I haven't got a chance. You know, these guys are pros. And so I think the first screen test I did, I was nervous. Then they had me do a test again the second day with a different bunch of guys. And I thought, I'm not going to get it anyway, so I'll just try to relax with it. And maybe that helped me. And I'm sure the fact that I was already under contract probably helped too. Anyway, Jack Warner, I'm told, finally looked at the tests and pointed at me and said, that's Cheyenne.
Huh.
And he changed my name to Clint, which was fine with me. I thought it was great. And that was the beginning of doing the Cheyennes. And, you know, I really didn't have much experience under my belt. They said, well, it'll only last for a year. And at the same time, they were doing Casablanca and King's Row. Those were the ones that were supposed to last for a number of years. And but Cheyenne's the one that, I guess, the kind of thing that people at that time wanted to see.
They absolutely did and still do. And for our listeners just who don't know, in 1955, Warner Brothers Presents was an anthology series that was Warner Brothers, our studio, sticking its toe into the waters of television. And they did so by taking these three filmed properties. Casablanca, King's Row, and Cheyenne had been a film with Dennis Morgan, I believe. Is that correct?
With who?
With Dennis Morgan, I think, in 1947. I don't know if it's the same one or not, but that's what I thought.
I'm not sure.
But in any event, they took these three previous film properties, and Casablanca and King's Row rode into the sunset very quickly, as did Warner Brothers Presents. But the next September, it was Cheyenne that triumphantly reigned on the ABC schedule for 7 seasons.
People were ready for it, and of course, Gunsmoke was already going, but that was a half-hour series, and then Hugh O'Brien's show was a half-hour series, and I think one of the smartest things that Warner's did, lucky me, they went for an hour program.
Right.
And that way, with all the film they had in their film library, they could take stock footage out there and put it in the Cheyennes and give it really a big picture feel, which I think also had a lot to do with it. But, you know, Warner's have always been, you know, put out quality product, and I think that had a lot to do with it as well. So I was very fortunate in so many ways to be doing that with Warner's, who had the wherewithal to give it that big feel, that big picture look, and I think all of that helped to make Cheyenne a success. And of course, my gosh, I got to work with people like John Carradine and Jack Elam and Big Boy Williams and Marie Windsor and Bob Wilkie and on and on and on. And I'll tell you, when you got people like that to work with, they make you look a lot better.
Well, I think they had a magnificent supporting cast around you in every episode. Such fine actors and actresses, but everybody remembers Cheyenne Bodie, and more importantly than that, the character that you created really was a benchmark by which other people in all walks of life could look up to as a real hero. He was not a cartoon cowboy. This was a man who had flaws and had successes and was very, very he was very provocative, and I think he was very introspective and thoughtful. A character that thought about what he did.
The character showed a lot of morality and a lot of integrity, which people liked. There was a moral to every story.
Yeah.
And even today, and I'll tell you, of course, we have a website, clintwalker.com, and we get thousands of letters, more than we can answer, really, as far as email is concerned. But they're so nice, and what's happening, I'm getting a lot of new fans now.
Right.
Children that send me crayon pictures, 17-year-olds, 21-year-olds, a lot of people who are much older who never saw Cheyenne.
Right.
But I guess people are telling them about it, whatever, and they love the series. It isn't really dated as such.
No, it certainly is not.
I think also today things are a little scary for a lot of folks. A lot of people out of work. They don't know if they're going to keep their car, their home. They don't know what's coming down the pike. And also a lot of them are tired of a lot of stuff that they've been putting on TV and showing at the theaters. With a lot of bad language and all, and they want to go back to a time when they enjoyed what was being shown a lot more, whether it was Cheyenne or Gunsmoke or All in the Family or whatever.
Right.
It takes them back to a better time, I think. And also, a lot of them tell me, they said, you know, you were my... I wanted to be just like you, and mm-hmm. because, you know... you were a bodybuilder, and I wanted to be a bodybuilder, and so I took up weight training or whatever. And later they become involved in law enforcement or whatever. But they said, I want my grandchildren to see the Cheyennes because it had a good effect on me, and I know it'll be good for them. So I'm getting, you know, a lot of new fans. It's absolutely amazing. And, of course, we go on the road as well. We'll do four shows on the road this year. I meet hundreds and hundreds of people there.
Yeah, and people know you not just from Cheyenne, but, of course, you made three amazing films here at Warner Brothers that fans have been asking for many years, and it's been our great honor to bring them out.
They're buying them.
Just to let the audience know that Mr. Walker called me in my office here about 4 or 5 years ago asking if we would ever put Fort Dobbs or Yellowstone Kelly or Gold of the Seven Saints out on DVD. And I told him how much I admired him and his work and these films and that I was going to find a way one way or the other. So as you remember, it was, I guess, about 6 or 8 months ago, we had already put out Gold of the Seven Saints, but we had just begun to restore Yellowstone Kelly and Fort Dobbs. I think it was one of the great days of my life when I went into Mike Cardullo's office. My colleague was in the other room, and we called you on the
phone. It was one of the great days of my life to hear that you were doing that.
It always gives me a great thrill to be able to let artists know that we've been able to bring their work to a new generation. And I think just as Cheyenne is a role model character for people to look up to, I think certainly Yellowstone Kelly, who was a real life hero, and even the character of Gar Davis in Fort Dobbs is very much like Cheyenne in the way he made decisions and had integrity. All of your screen characters, to me, every one of them always had integrity. And I think that's something that is a great testament to your choices and the roles that you've taken as an actor throughout your entire career.
I think actors and actresses have a responsibility, really, when you consider the fact of what they do. People from all over the world will see these films that they make or that they're involved with. And it's going to have an either positive or negative effect on their lives. So that's quite a responsibility. And so I don't know, my feeling is God really blessed me when I got to do the Cheyennes and portray the Cheyenne character. And so the very least I could do is make sure that whatever I did, I didn't disappoint my fans.
Well, you've kept your fans happy for quite a long time and continue to do so, because it's our great thrill to bring Cheyenne to the DVD audience through Warner Archive, our website, and also through ClintWalker.com, where they can communicate directly with you, which I know gives fans a great thrill. But also, we're going to be bringing out all the rest of the Cheyenne series. All seven seasons are going to come to the fans, and they can own the collection as we bring them all out for everybody to have on their shelves, which is an enormous thrill for me personally and professionally.
Well, I tell you, you can certainly take a lot of credit, because I know you kept pushing to make that
Yes,
happen.
I did. My hands hurt from pushing. I want to ask you about Richard L. Baer, the director.
Yes.
Who is a friend of ours here, because he directed all the Joe McDoak shorts here at Warner Brothers. He directed over 60 of them.
Well, I had no idea, but Richard directed my first Cheyenne, a lot of them in between, and directed the very last one.
Oh, I didn't know he had directed the last one. How cool is that? I did not know.
I couldn't have had a better director. It was great working with Richard.
He's a wonderful guy. He lives down in Orange County, and he came and had lunch with us probably about a year ago. He's doing really, really well. And, you know, he created the Green Acres television show. He directed every one of those episodes.
I had no idea.
He directed everyone. Now, Paul Henning created the show, and he was actually the director. I want to correct myself on that. But he had done short subjects here at Warner Brothers with the Joe McDoak's character from 1942 through 1956. And it was the fact that he had done little 10-minute short films on such a small budget that Jack Warner said to him, said, "Hey, you can work really quickly. We're going to start doing TV, and I want you to be a TV director." And that's how he ended up starting with other projects, and most notably, the Cheyenne pilot and so many episodes of that, and Maverick.
Oh, yeah.
Directed many shows here at Warner Brothers, and maybe someday we can all have lunch together. We'll have to do that.
I would be absolutely
God bless
delighted.
Him. He's a wonderful guy, and
he's
trying to actually get a Green Acres movie made. He's still going strong, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But so many people speak well of him as a director, and he's had such a varied career. I wanted to ask you about that. And in a related thing, I seem to recall that you did a guest appearance as Cheyenne on the Maverick series. Is that correct?
You know, I don't remember doing that.
Huh.
Now, I may have.
Oh, okay.
Because I'll tell you, we were doing the show. You know, we did those in 6 days.
Oh, my God.
I think Lee Fulham finally brought one in, or was it Bob Spar? One or the other brought one in 5 days.
Wow. Because they're like feature films.
They told him, don't do that again. You know, it was tough enough to do them in 6 days.
Right.
And I'm glad they told him that, because you're going to lose a certain amount of quality when you do that. As it is, we work long hours.
I don't know how you did it, because every one of them feels like a small feature film.
Yeah, it has that feel to it. And, you know, I think again and again, God blessed me when Warner Brothers put me under contract, because I think had I done Cheyenne at a lot of other places, we wouldn't have had the quality that we did at Warner.
I would agree with you without question, and that's without my personal bias to the people who pay my salary here.
Yeah.
But I loved Warner Brothers as a child, and I always felt that, you know, when you saw the Warner Brothers logo at the beginning, it was the television shows like Cheyenne that said, "From the entertainment capital of the world, Warner Brothers," and you'd see those sound stages and the logo. I always got, you know, big chills as a little kid.
I always loved that logo, even before I went to work for Warner Brothers. I loved that shield logo. of WV.
It's beautiful. And you literally, if it hadn't been for Cheyenne and the success of it, it was the bedrock on which Warner Brothers built its television business, and it was that business that kept the studio from going bankrupt in the mid to late 50s when things were so shaky around here.
That's what I understand. Well, you know, Jim Garner did a couple of Cheyennes, and they gave him his own show, and of course, Jim was... he did a great job. He was a fine actor. So was Kelly.
Yes.
Jack Kelly. And then, of course, they did the Alaskans, and then they went on to do Colt 45 and Lawman with John Russell and
right.
Peter Brown and Ty Harden and Bronco and Will Hutchins.
Sugarfoot.
And boy, I mean, working on that back lot sometimes got kind of busy.
I was going to say, it must have been. Let me ask you, there's a very special series of episodes on 77 Sunset Strip that you were in.
Yeah, I think I did something there.
It was a five-part show, and it was called Five. And it was something very unique, and it wasn't your average kind of television series. It was almost like a mini movie spread over 5 weeks.
Well, I'll be darned.
So you don't remember doing that?
No, I'll tell you. You know, it's a funny thing, and it isn't just me. The same thing is true with a lot of other fellas that have done series.
Right.
You do them day after day, one after the other after the other. When the years go, a lot of years go by.
Sure.
You don't really remember a whole lot about them.
No, how can you if...
You can see them and you're not sure how it's going to work out, except you know you're going to win.
That's right. Well, the Warner television series have a huge fan base, and that's why these classic series, the one that everybody wanted the most was Cheyenne, and we're so proud to put it out. We hope to be putting the other ones out, and 77 Sunset Strip is another that people ask about, and I remember it being on when I was very young, but I never actually got to see them myself, so I'm hoping that we put it out. There's another film that was made here at Warner Brothers in the late 60s in which you had a cameo appearance, and I want to ask you if you do remember doing this. It's a film that didn't really get released theatrically. It sat on the shelf for a long time, but we're going to be resurrecting it here through the Warner Archive, The Finks. Do you remember that?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that was a crazy film with a bunch of a young musical group.
That's correct.
And we went out to Mojave, to an old abandoned airport out there, and did a bunch of the stuff out there.
Huh.
But no, I remember that very well, and I always wondered why they didn't release it.
Well, I don't think they quite knew what to do with it. And for those of you who are listening to this podcast, it's really a film I think that was a bit ahead of its time because it reminds me in watching it. I never got to see it until we finally found the negative. Only a few weeks ago, actually, the negative was missing. We had all sorts of film elements, but the negative was missing.
Oh, my gosh.
We found the negative. We've mastered it in high definition. Warner Archive Collection will be putting out The Fink, so you heard it here first.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
Clint
now,
Walker.
I think I played the sergeant in that.
Yes, you did, and you are very funny.
It was a funny film. I was training these guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I went into Mike's office, and I said, you have to see this, because the film reminded me in a way of Airplane, because it was a very arch satire of traditional movie conventions. And I think nobody expected your character in that. You have a little everybody has cameos in the movie. And almost every famous person in the history of Hollywood, from the Lone Ranger to Tarzan to yourself and the Patty Andrews and Xavier Cugat, everybody's in this movie. Ruby Keeler,
oh
Busby Berkeley, Leo Gorcy and Hunts Hall. I mean, everybody's in this movie.
And Hunts Hall in there?
They are indeed. I read about this film when I was very, very young, and it never came to the theaters, and I wondered why. And I think the studio didn't quite know what to do with it, but that's our challenge at Warner Archive. We're going to make it available to everybody, and it looks gorgeous. It looks absolutely stunning. But I thought you were so funny in it.
Well, I can do comedy.
I know. You were on the Lucy Show, weren't you?
I did the Lucy Show. I did two Lucys. and had an awful lot of fun doing them. And I did a Jack Benny.
Right.
That was a lot of fun. We were up there, you know, some of the stuff, of course, we'd rehearsed. But then we were talking about the fact, he said, I guess we have a lot in common, Clint. He said, I was a seaman, and you were a seaman, and I'm from Illinois, you're from Illinois. And I said, yes, and we both have blue eyes. You know how he would do, you know, he looks out
right.
of the audience, he says, really? And we hadn't rehearsed this. With that, he reaches up, grabs me around the neck, puts a foot up on one knee and hoists himself up, puts the other foot on the other knee. And now he's looking me right in the eye, and he turns to the audience and then says, you know, he does have blue eyes. They just cracked up, but I was cracking up because I hadn't expected that. I tell you, he had to have an awful lot of confidence in me.
Absolutely. Now, was that with a live audience, or was it shot?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, wow. Because I love his shows, and I wish I could see more of them. They're very hard to see because they're not available on DVD legally anyway.
I did a part of the Jack Benny show. I did a little skit all by myself around the campfire, and I sang along in the Navajo Trail.
Huh.
And I would sure like to get a hold of that recording, but I wouldn't have the least idea how to do it.
Well, I'll have to call the folks at Universal because they own all the Jack Benny shows.
Oh, do they?
Because Lou Wasserman was his agent. And
that's a show that I'd like to get a hold
yeah.
of.
Well,
Night of the Grizzly.
That's right.
At Paramount. And my gosh, we get requests, a dozen requests a day for that.
Well, I remember seeing Night of the Grizzly, and you played Jim Cole.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that. I guess it was like they used to run older movies as a children's matinee. My brother and I'd go to the movies every Saturday, and Night of the Grizzly was one that scared me to death. But a great movie.
It was a nice. It was my story idea, and I worked with Dorn. Howard Koch put Warren Douglas and I together to write it. He said, let's see, you know, they put us both on the payroll, and he said, let's see what you come up with, and that's how Night of the Grizzly got made. And then Bert Dunn, who was producing Cheyenne's at the very last there, I got him the job as to produce that, and it turned out to be a nice little picture. People love it.
I know that it's got a fan base because people send us letters wanting us to put it out because they think that we're the house of Clint Walker movies. And I wish we had everything that you did.
Yeah,
but
I guess
they'll do it. We hope our friends at Paramount will put that out for the Clint Walker fans. But there's another work that you did that I don't think you and I have ever talked about even on the phone or anything. And that is a production. We own it because we own Hanna-Barbera and they produced it. Is Hard Case.
Oh, yeah, with Stephanie Powers.
Yes, and we're going to be releasing that. Did you produce that, or were you?
No.
No, you just were the star, and...
Yeah, that was after the ski accident I had. I came out, and I went to Spain and did the Pancho Villa with Telly Savalas.
Right.
And Anne Francis and Chuck Connors, and then I came back and did Hard Case.
And was that supposed to be a pilot for a series, or was it just
to my knowledge.
Just a single film?
Just a single film.
We looked at it. We thought it was terrific. Hanna-Barbera didn't do very much live-action production, but when they did, it was very high quality, and we think it's a great little film, and we're going to be putting it out because we get any... If you were ever in anything, your fans ask for it.
They do, and even the album that I made there at Warner's.
That's right.
Right now, we're having trouble getting it because evidently one outfit sold out to another one that had been producing it, and it sells great guns.
Well, people were looking for that album for a long time. I'm sure that's part of the reason.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you about in 1995, you came back to this neck of the woods to recreate your role of Cheyenne in an episode of Kung Fu, The Legend Continues.
Yeah.
How is that, coming back here and playing the role 40 years later?
A little strange.
Yeah? Did they shoot it here on the lot?
That was shot in Canada.
Oh, okay. Well, then that would make it a little disassociative,
yeah.
I guess. See, I knew the show, obviously, is Warner Brothers, so I thought it had been shot here. But
no.
But you did play Cheyenne for the first time in many years doing that episode.
Well, also, I did Gambler 4 where they had a lot of us in there. They had Chuck Connors and Hugh O'Brien and myself and a bunch of people. And I played
the Gambler Returns, The Luck of the Draw, I think it was called.
Yeah.
But the Kung Fu, The Legend Continues, I guess, was the last time that you played the part.
I think so, yeah.
Well, I think it's time. Maybe you think maybe one more time we can get you to put the hat on again and, you know.
You betcha.
Well, we would love that. But we're going to have to get you to come down and visit us here. We would love that. But in any case, we want to thank you for your time talking to us today, because the fans always want to hear from you. And everybody out there, you can not only visit us, of course, at WarnerArchive.com, but take a moment and go to Clint's website. It's wonderful, clintwalker.com. He not only offers all sorts of personal autographs and things like that, but you'll see the whole world of Clint Walker on his website. It's a great website, and you're a great gentleman, and we think the world of you, and we want to thank you for spending time with us today here on this podcast. We really appreciate it.
Well, George, I appreciate being able to do the interview and make contact with all the fans out there. And thank you. You've been very kind and complimentary.
Well, we think the world of you, and I speak from the bottom of my heart, both personally and professionally, that you're one of the reasons why it makes it great to come to work every day. And we look forward to talking to you again with another podcast when we get ready to release Cheyenne Season 3. How's that?
Well, that sounds great, and nothing could please me more.
Well, all the best to you. And to our listeners, please check with us again at WarnerArchive.com for our latest and greatest. And most importantly, make sure you pick up Cheyenne Season 1, Season 2, and Yellowstone Kelly, Fort Dobbs, Gold of the Seven Saints, and go to Clint's website, see what he has, and we'll all be talking to you real soon.
And may I just say hello to all the fans out there. So long for now, and God bless all of you, and God bless Warner Brothers.
And God bless you, Clint Walker, and all my best to your wife as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this very special Warner Archive website podcast. Thank you again to Clint Walker for joining us today on the podcast. And remember that Fort Dobbs, Gold of the Seven Saints, and Yellowstone Kelly are all available on DVD at our website, WarnerArchive.com, as is, of course, the great television series Cheyenne. Season 2 has just been released, and we would love to provide it to you. Come visit us, WarnerArchive.com, and make sure you check back with us for the next WarnerArchive.com website podcast. It's been our pleasure to speak with you today. Come back and join us again soon.